Test, test.
Test, test.
Check, 1, 2.
Check, check.
Check.
Boy shirt.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another edition of the Boxing Voice Radio, coming to you live from the Wynn Casino, straight out of the Blue Wire Studio. I'm joined alongside Daniel Alvarez, a.k.a. Ringwalk Danny, and today we're going to be talking about the return of Dillian White taking on American undefeated heavyweight Jermaine Franklin. That fight potentially going to happen. We have in studio Troy Eisley, signed a top rank, one of the red-hot prospects over there. Good afternoon, Mr. Alvarez.
Champ, what up? Back with another one. Very excited. We got the Olympian in the building. And, I thought Dillian White was fighting Hassan Rahman Jr.
You're hilarious. I don't think Rockman's going to enjoy that. But, yeah, no, what do you know about Jermaine Franklin?
No, I mean, undefeated heavyweight, sign of Salida. I know I must have seen him fight because I've definitely seen numerous of the cards that he's been on. I just can't really remember. But you can't count out, you know, a young guy going up against a over-the-hill vet like Dillian White.
I asked our editor to create the thumbnail, and I told him put, you know, the words, great comeback fight, because I think for Dillian White coming off a knockout loss to Tyson Fury, the number one heavyweight in the world, to face an undefeated heavyweight that doesn't know how to lose. You know, the knock on Franklin is going to be inactivity. He hasn't had any consistent activity. He hasn't fought but one time since 2019.
Yeah.
And that was just a comeback fight. I mean, you said something about it being in a gymnasium.
Oh, yeah. Back home.
Now, I wonder, is it the Crunk Gym? Because I know the Salida.
Nah, Gary. Yeah, Gary, Indiana. Hone of Michael Jackson.
And I was going to say, because if it's the Crunk Gym, then it's different, because I know that Salida, who's his promoter, he puts on shows at the Crunk Gym that they're live streamed. But speaking of live stream, not only is this episode live streamed all over the world and on youtube.com/TheBoxingVoice, where you should be subscribed and clicking that notification bell, but we're also taking callers at 1-425-569-5241. Don't forget, you call us right here at Blue Wire Studios and give us your opinion, not only on today's topic, but maybe something you want to let us talk about with our guest, Troy Eisley. So, again, for Dillian, this is a good fight coming back. I mean, you know, Jermaine has to be top 10, top 15 in someone's sanctioning body, or at least, let's check if he's top 15
in BoxRec.
In America.
Oh, wow.
Right? I mean, top 15 American heavyweight, that's got to count for something. What you find?
Oh, I'm pulling up.
I got his BoxRec. He is number 56 in America. Are they really? Oh, no, that's in the world. Okay. So in America, he's 13. He's 13.
Okay.
You know, so in front of him, 12 is your good friend Jared Anderson. So we don't even have to look any further. Everyone believes Jared is next up. Jermaine is right underneath. That's a good place to be. Can't talk about Jared without talking about Jermaine.
So, all right,
you just can't. Jared's 11. I mean 12. He's 13, and guess who's 14?
Who?
Andrew the Beast Tabidi. Good company to be in. I mean, right in front of you is the guy everybody thinks is the next guy up. Right behind you is someone that obviously had enough allure, value, to not only attract Mayweather and TMT Promotions, but
he had a title shot
in a whole other country, too. He just fought in Saudi again outside of the World Boxing Super 6. So, Tabidi there, and Cassius Chaney, who just suffered his first loss to the Dominican. Shout out to my Dominican brethren, the heavyweight, George Arias.
Mm.
So that's not bad company. And if you want to go one above Jared, guess who's there?
Mm.
Guess who's back? Back again, Johnny Rice.
Really?
Isn't that ironic? Knowing what you know and what I know, Johnny to be number 11, Jared 12, Franklin 13, Tabidi 14. That is pretty... I should be screen sharing this. Yes, let me get a screen share, fellas. Sorry.
Good job, man.
Look at me being greedy with the information. But there you go. Now, you see Jerry Forrest. Let's click on this because I'm going to teach you something. This is a fight that people, I believe, thought Franklin should have lost, right? Is it Jerry? Is Franklin on here? Yep, there it is. Oh, and you see as it says split decision, loss for Jerry, but people think, obviously, Franklin lost that.
Mm.
Yes. And obviously, Jerry's been on the bad end of some decisions. As we know, he eventually ended up getting this draw with Zhang, which I think was probably justified. You know, in a 10-round fight, you get knocked down three times. I mean, you really got a clean house to get a win. But yeah, man, a decent heavyweight fight for a guy named Dillian White. And let's go to Dillian White now, right? Because Dillian, I believe, consistently takes on top 10 opposition. And
he always fighting the top guys.
That's what I'm saying. He's never not fighting someone with a name. So you got to respect White. And off a knockout loss, here he is taking on a young defeated heavyweight. I'm like, how old is Franklin? I was just on his box track, but I'm trying to get the White. Whose resume is amazing. You know, he's got whatever losses he's got, but you know, to be a heavyweight that never got a title shot, this guy's been in with the world. You know, Derek Chisora, maybe like a trilogy, David Allen.
Jermaine Franklin is.
Anthony Joshua, Brian Minto.
28.
So he's still young. He's still young. That's what I'm saying. Lucas Brown, Joseph Parker, Derek Chisora, Oscar Rivas, Maurice Vaughn, Alexander. I mean, he's got an amazing resume. Win or lose, he's got an amazing resume. He's been in there with the who's who of boxing. He finally got his title shot, came up short against what people consider the number one heavyweight. I don't mind this fight. I hope we get to watch it free.
Yeah, definitely probably a DAZN fight now.
Hopefully. I don't know that he has a deal with DAZN. I mean, the last fight was what? BT ESPN? And that was with Tyson.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
And, you know, he's been known not to have a deal on
right.
paper with Matchroom. So, yeah, man. We're good on the screen share. Sorry, fellas.
You ready to
bring in our first guest,
Troy
Isley, get to talking. If you want to ask Troy a question, you can do so. As we have a link so that you can drop him a question. And, yeah, man. Let's go to the Kenichi promo while we get Troy set up. And we'll be right back after a few seconds. And, you know, all
He's
right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back. We are here with Troy Isley. Troy, what's going on, brother? Thank you for joining us here live at The Win, man. How you feeling?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good. You know, just ready to fight next week.
I'm just thankful that you continue to choose Las Vegas for your training camp grounds, allowing us to, you know, be in there and watch you work, man. So it's next week, man. What is the fighter going through the week before the fight?
Well, a lot of, you know, cutting that little last bit of weight. So, you know, really just, you know, fine-tuning everything we've been working on and, you know, cutting weight kind of. So, you know, the meals get a little smaller.
How does that make you feel?
Make me feel, you know, more angry, you know, with my opponent for real. But other than that, I mean, I'm used to it now, so.
For sure.
I've been doing it for a minute.
How long have you been holding camp out here in Vegas? How many camps has it been now?
I've been doing camp out here since my third pro fight.
Wow.
So I want to say five now. This is six. This is number eight.
What? Sorry, I was just
going to follow. Actually, no, five. It's five.
Just going to follow up and say, what is, I guess, what do you feel you get the most out of Vegas?
A lot of different sparring out here. Also, like, you know, Saturdays, usually, you know, there's some fights, stuff like that. You can go to fights. There's a lot of stuff to do out here that you wouldn't be able to do in other cities. And I feel like it's a boxing city, so you can still stay focused in it. And it's a lot of different work. And then at the same time, you still get that altitude work. So, you know what I'm saying? You can do mountains and stuff like that and still get the altitude. Honestly, I just like it out here, honestly. I don't know why. I just like it out here. I like doing camps out here.
Now, I was going to ask, you spent time in Marquette doing camp out there as well, right? Compare the two.
Marquette is a real training camp city. So it's like, ain't really, there's nothing out there. So like, there's not even a 7-Eleven out there. It's a college town for real, but it's really like nothing out there. Ain't really nothing to do for real. So I mean, ain't really nothing to do but just lock in and focus on boxing. And I'll be out there with Coach Al.
Right, Coach Al Mitchell, absolutely. Big fight next weekend. I mean, to me, anytime that they take a fight to the Garden, it's a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fighting under those bright lights and fighting under the Lomachenko undercard, you know, is going to be an exciting, packed event. Second time at the Garden?
Before June 18th.
Okay, so back-to-back, how does that make you feel?
I feel good, honestly. I like, you know, fighting at the Garden. It's close to home, and it's nothing like, you know, the Garden. It's, you know, the big lights. So it puts on, you know, it puts a lot of pressure on you to, you know, perform. And I've been working hard this camp. And I began some great sparring. I've been looking good in sparring, and I'm ready. I got a lot of family coming out as well, so because it's close to home, so I'm ready.
Who you been sparring with, champ?
I've been getting a lot of different looks. At first, I was sparring a dude that was similar to my opponent at DLX, and I worked with him, and then I worked with Nico, and then these past 2 weeks, I've been going to Top Rank, and this is Top Rank is stacked. I honestly don't know the names of the people, but I've been getting a lot of, you know, different type of looks.
Nico is 60-pounder, right?
Yeah.
You fighting at 54, right?
No, I'm doing 60.
So you're doing 60. Yeah. So you're done. Because I know you've been, like, in between.
Yeah, I've been trying to do in between. But I didn't, like, I got down to 50 just my last fight. I didn't like how I felt. So I was just like, we might as well just stay at 60. I was fighting 65 in amateur, so ain't no point. I feel like I'm skillful enough to fight 60.
But you haven't ever weighed in at 60, right? The highest has been, what, your last, not your last fight, but the second to last, which would be Dante Stubbs. You was like 58.
Yeah, that's because he came overweight. But the fight was supposed to be at 58, but he came overweight. So we weighed in a little heavier.
So middleweight it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I've been fighting middleweights. Like, they haven't been giving me, like, I think my first two fights I made for super welterweights, but ever since then, they've been giving me middleweights. The Top Rank never believed I was actually going to make 54. They always say you're going to fight 62. You're not making 54.
And they know better, man. But they've been keeping you very busy, man. I've been loving the activity and being able to watch the growth and the trajectory of your career, man. How has that been for you to always know when you're going to fight and fighting so often?
That's good. I see, you know, the growth. Even though my last fight wasn't the action or, like, it wasn't, like, a highlight reel fight, I still seen a lot of growth in, like, my maturity, not trying to rush, and then also staying patient. I feel like the guy was trying to really, like, set me up for something. So I didn't, like, you know, because I wasn't landing the clean shots that I landed my previous fights, I wasn't, you know, trying to rush and, you know, run into something. He called me one time, but, you know, I still, you know, weared it off and you know, got it done. Honestly, you know, I like it. That's why I wanted to go with Top Rank. I feel like, you know, they're going to move me right and they're going to keep me busy.
Absolutely, man. And I think that's what I've enjoyed the most is, you know, because you're so active, it gives us the opportunity to connect with you. Not only, you know, us, obviously, it's a little bit, we're cheating. We know you personally.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fan, if they see you regularly on television, it's hard to forget. You know, I feel like that phrase in life, out of sight, out of mind, is there for a reason. But the fact that you're consistently on, you know, decent and great cards makes that all the much more better for yourself and your career, man. And you fought all over, man.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say, because last year you get a bubble fight.
Mm-hmm.
You turn pro in the bubble. Then you get another fight in Vegas. Then it was the Olympics.
Yeah, the Olympics.
So you take that break. Walk us through that moment, because for a while there, you didn't think you'd be able to go to the Olympics walk us through that moment and having to adjust and what that was like.
Well, I mean, when I got the call that I was going, I was psyched, honestly. I ain't gonna lie. Like, growing up, I always wanted to be in the league growing up. But at the same time, like, even when I lost at the trials, I always had, like, that thought in my mind, like, you know, it's not over. Ain't no way it could be over. So, I mean, I was injured at the trials. So, you know, I still went through my injuries. In 2020, I got healthy, you know, got my surgeries on both of my shoulders. And honestly, when I got the call, you know, I was hyped. And I still had to fight June 12th. I got the dub. And then I went to the Olympics. Honestly, the transition
was announced like that fight week, wasn't it? Yeah. Wasn't it like the same week?
It was the same week. It was the exact same week as fight week. And honestly, it was kind of hard getting used to the pace because, I mean, I had worked 2 years, like kind of like 2.5 years or a year and a half, like trying to get, you know, used to the pro style. So it was hard at first. And I felt like, you know, the reason I lost my fight was because I was still, you know, too pro-ish. Honestly, I couldn't figure the guy out, like, in the first round. I didn't really figure him out till the third round. Honestly, that's when I started landing shots. But I wasn't trying to, you know, rush or run into anything because, you know, because of the amateur style. So, honestly.
So, Troy, when was it that you went back to your old school? Because the article was published on the 25th of August, but yeah. I don't know if that was actually on the 25th
yeah,
of August.
It was on the 25th of August. I went back to my elementary school. I went back in 2018, but I went, you know, had to go back again and, you know, show love, you know, my community and stuff like that. It's great. It was great, you know, seeing the young kids and, you know, it was great.
Do you feel any pressure? Because I feel like when people themselves are young and they're in a certain position, it can be tricky or difficult sometimes. But do you feel any pressure? Because whether you like it or not, you are a role model and you do have kids and other young fighters looking up to you.
I mean, honestly, I gonna say I feel pressure, but it is a kind of little bit of pressure. You know, I gotta always, you know, show that I'm, you know, doing the right thing. I gotta lead by example, and you know that means like doing the right thing at all times. I can't never like, you know, like lose focus on, you know, do anything. I got, you know, I always gotta. I was one of the first people to, you know, show them that it's a way out. So, you know, I gotta continue to do that. I can't fall off track.
So I wanted you to just tell me in your own words how it felt and what was it like, because reading the article, the author makes it seem as if kids were yelling your name,
yeah,
high-fiving you, like,
yeah,
they were really excited to see you back. And I just want to know how that felt and how do you think so many of those kids know you?
Well, I mean, I was on a lot of newspapers for going to the Olympics. So that could be a reason. And honestly, I was supposed to go in June, but because of the Stills fight, I pushed it back. I was like, I gotta get in training camp. Not in June, but like in May, I gotta push it back. But honestly, Dr. Zissios, my principal, she loves me. You know, growing up, I was bad. So I was real bad in that school. So I got in trouble a lot. Not for like fighting a lot. I just got in trouble because of the stuff I used to say. So boxing was like disciplined me. As well as
hold on. What you used to say, Troy? Because I was bad as hell in school. What you used to say?
I used to say some crazy shit, man. I'll tell y'all one story. Back in like fourth grade, I'm walking laps. This white girl laughing at me. I told her shut up, for she shoot your head. And
what the fuck?
Yeah. And I knew I was in trouble because, you know, when I get in trouble in school, my dad would come to the rec like 30 minutes, like not even, like soon as I get there. Here come giving him like, damn, I know I'm in trouble. He's like, why would you tell that little girl that? And then, you know, there's police there the next day and I'm in school suspension and stuff like that. But I had a lot of stories. But my principal does a lot of work, like, you know, getting me known in the community and, you know, getting my name out there. So, you know, and also my teammate, Dara, my old teammate as well. She does a lot, you know, getting my name out there, you know, to the mayor and stuff like that. So a lot of kids, then, you know, honestly, I didn't really, so like each fight, you know, my stock kind of raises up. So like I'll be like just walking to the store or doing something and somebody, oh, hey, Troy. And, you know, I'm like, damn, like, shit, you know, it feels good, though. It feels good.
Wait,
what I
so you still live in Alexandria?
Yeah, I still live in Alexandria, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know you still live out there. Oh, yeah. You just come out for camp, okay.
Yeah, I come out for camp, but I'm only there for 2 weeks, and then I try not to be home no longer than 2 weeks, and then, I try to, see family, do events, stop by my home gym, check on the kids, stuff like that, see how they doing, and, just chill with family, for real, and, I'll catch up with some friends. But,
when the time comes,
yeah.
Where do you think you'll buy your first home?
This right here is one of the places. Either here, maybe Houston. I like Florida, but Florida, them hurricanes, they destroyed my house. I don't know. But
wait. So you have family back in Florida right now?
No.
So you talking about an older hurricane?
Maybe a hurricane. But I'm just saying,
No, because I got a house in Florida. And I just lost my gate. One of them. It wasn't even all.
It wasn't that bad.
Nah, man. Yo, people be over exaggerating. My brother been out there like 15 years, three houses in, and nothing.
Okay.
And let me tell you, my wife was going crazy. Like, oh, we should hire somebody to, because you could board up the wind. I'm like, man, fuck it. What are we paying insurance for? What I'm saying? I left it like that. Ain't nothing come flying through the windows or nothing.
Okay.
I got lucky. Because I seen Fort Myers was looking crazy. It got flooded out there.
So you said Houston, is that I'm assuming you've been out there.
Yeah, I did training camps out there before I started going to Vegas.
Okay.
So,
with Shakur. At Jay Prince Gym.
Mm-hmm. And I like the prices down there. They got real good prices for houses down there. So you can't
nice
beat that
square footage.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Huge property too. Here's some houses, it's like you could high-five your neighbor out the window and shit.
Word.
It's so close.
Nah, the backyards is tough here. You got to be rich here, man. It's pretty unfair. It's pretty unfair. And it's crazy because it wasn't always like this. It changed.
So it used to be cheaper back then?
Way cheaper.
Sure, I've only been living here like 7 years, bro. It's like doubled.
Yeah, way cheaper,
like,
man.
You used to be able to buy a beautiful, 1,800 square foot home for like $180,000.
There was a show years ago called Flippin' Las Vegas, and that was an amazing show. Him and his wife, they were killing it out here, and they got me Googling, and prices were nothing like they're like right now. And those guys were able to divorce, remarry, make spin-off shows, and still kill it because they flip in Las Vegas so well.
Boy, they got married again?
Oh, yeah.
So they back together?
I don't think they back together.
Oh, they got divorced again?
No, they divorced and they got remarried with somebody
with other
else.
People.
Oh, with other people.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she married some rich dude. He had a beautiful, beautiful home. It was a good show. They definitely have amazing interior. She had amazing interior design.
Look at us over here.
Listen, real estate, man. I ain't trying to pay no rent. If you paying rent, you paying someone else's mortgage. You just need to remember that.
But he was asking you about your first home because he feels that boxes should move to Vegas.
No. I was just, wondering since I didn't know he still lived in Alexandria. So that hasn't happened yet. Obviously, we learned that Jared just bought one in Houston and so did Shakur. So it's like, I'm asking the same question that may happen for you.
Yeah.
Because I just read that, obviously, your mom and your sister are still out there. But it didn't say that you are.
Yeah.
So when you said yourself, I'm like, oh, okay. Pretty cool. But it did say that your mom and your sister try to be at all your fights. Is that true?
My mom has been to every fight, yeah. Mom and dad come to every fight. Dad, and sister, my sneaker, has she missed the fight? I think only fight she missed was the second fight, the one before the Olympics. But other than that, yeah, I have a very supportive family. Growing up, I always had that support. So, they always went to nationals. So they're very supportive.
I feel like we asked you the Devin Haney question, but I'm going to ask anyway. Would you have gone without your dad or your mother to Australia to get those belts the way that he had to under those circumstances?
I mean, if my dad was my trainer, then, that's a discussion we probably would have to see in the future. But, I mean, in hindsight, yeah, I mean, I would. Honestly, if I want to get them belts, yeah, sometimes you got to do this. You got to sometimes you got to do it. So
how many countries has boxing taken you to? I know the games was in Tokyo, right?
Yeah.
So that's one.
Tokyo, Kazakhstan.
Oh, wow.
Bulgaria.
What?
Like three different parts of Germany. Ireland. Peru. Nicaragua.
Damn.
Honduras. Oh, this is all like on the USA team.
Wow. You're like super international.
I want to say that's about it. That's all I can remember.
He was counting. How many is that?
Eight outside of the U.S.
How many of those?
Oh, Amsterdam and Netherlands, too.
Oh, wow.
You said Amsterdam and the Netherlands?
Yeah, but both right next to each other. But yeah, we toured. We fought in Netherlands, but we toured Amsterdam.
Okay.
That's
so
amazing.
10 countries outside of the U.S.?
Crazy.
Yeah, that was like some of the best time of my life right there.
Which one was your favorite?
I could imagine.
Netherlands, Amsterdam.
Really?
Besides Tokyo, Amsterdam and Netherlands is probably my favorite, yeah.
Which one of those countries treated you thus? And you felt the creepiest in, or like people were always looking at you. I don't know. Which one you didn't like out of all those?
The one I did like was my first time in Kazakhstan.
Okay, why?
Because, I mean, we was, so like, stay in just this one hotel and a bunch of mountains and a bunch of snow. It was like kind of like jail.
Mm.
And their food was nasty. I was eating cup of noodles and fruit snacks, basically. It was a training camp, but it was a 2-week training camp. It was our very first time being overseas, so they didn't they did it to get us used to being overseas. So that's what you're going to have to deal with. The food might not be good in Europe and stuff like that.
When you say fruit snacks, were they like real fruits, or you mean like, you know, little candy?
Yeah, they was like them
gummy bear candy.
No, they was like who are they? Kind of like Welch's, but like they like the berries, or they come in like the blue. I forgot what the brand is called.
But it's candy though.
I wouldn't say candy, but it's more gummy.
It's fruit snacks. Yeah.
So which one of those countries treated you the best? You went through the Kazakhstan,
Tokyo, or either Tokyo. Tokyo was probably the best because they all nice. And then it's kind of like being in the future because they're so up to date on all the technology.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like being in the U.S. like 10 years later because they're so up to date on technology. But Tokyo was probably the best. And then, like I said, when I was in Amsterdam and Netherlands, they gave us money, you know, to go shopping.
Mm.
We touring Amsterdam, going to the outlet, stuff like that. So probably either Amsterdam or Tokyo was probably my favorite.
Y'all ain't go to the red light district?
And what?
That was too young.
Nah, yeah, we probably, yeah, they ain't tell us about that.
Nah, they ain't gonna tell you about it.
So which one of those countries had the most appealing women?
The Netherlands. The Netherlands.
Really? Netherlands, Netherlands brought them the right way.
I want to say that they was nice, because, I mean, after the fight, we had a good little crew of women after the fight. They was more than us. They was taking us out, and they was paying for our food. They was rich.
Oh, wow.
Only thing, we was about to go, you know, go to their little house and stuff like that, but the coach started tripping. Like, what if they hold y'all hostage? He started calling us, stuff like that.
No,
and we were denying the call. We was like, don't answer. You know, we got to at least get to the house.
But none of y'all took that serious?
What?
Being kidnapped. Like, the Netherlands is huge for that. Like, isn't that where all the movies is from? Like, there's even, what's the movie? Hostel, right? Isn't that
Hostel? Yeah.
I think Hostel in Kazakhstan, or like.
No.
I don't know.
Hostel has to be based in the Netherlands.
I don't know.
Bro, that's like, and the one with Liam Nelson, when they snatch his daughter.
It was too many of them to be snatched up. But,
plus y'all fighters.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
That's funny. All right, so I got one question here. Let me see where they go. It is from our YouTube member Larry Smoothie says, how would you feel about fighting Truck Simpson? Did you even know that he won? He just won Saturday in Australia.
Yeah.
He got a knockdown, but a UD, right?
Yeah, it won't decision. Would you be open
you
to
guys
that?
Must know each other because you, Alexandria, and fucking, what, he's from Baltimore. That's right there.
I know Truck, yeah. I know Truck. I mean, it'll be a good fight, in a, you know, good fight to make in a few years or so.
You guys have sparred ever? Being so, oh, you have?
Yeah.
Has he ever trained under the same trainer as you?
No.
Oh. I got another one here from Profound Dreamer. He says, Mike Tyson says, desire to compete is the most difficult obstacle for a fighter. What is the biggest inspiration for maintaining your desire to compete at a high level?
Feeling like there's always room to improve. Feeling like I ain't done enough yet. So feeling like my next performance could always be better than my previous performance.
Hmm. Yeah, I actually like that question. I don't know if you were paying attention, but we were talking about that. Just slightly different, you
What's
know. The desire to compete. You know, we just kind of worded it different about people that get to that world title shot, win it, then lose it, and say they know how not to lose it after they lost it. It's like, bro, you've been working your whole life, telling me your whole life. Like right now, yeah. I've been following you since you were 0-0, since you're an Olympian. Your whole goal is to get a world title.
Yeah, so you
so
got
to
know
So when you win that
it.
World title and you lose it, and you tell me, nah, I mean, I just fucked up because I was young and I wouldn't. I'm like, bro,
You was young when you won it.
Your whole life. So desire to compete has to always be there. Once you win the title, then the desire has to change to defend that title. Then the desire has to change to unify that title and to undispute that title. That's
Yo, how'd you forget the UK? You was just out there.
Yeah.
Damn, 11.
I did forget the UK, but so, I mean, I like the UK.
So
like
the UK is top 10 in kidnapping.
Whoa.
The Netherlands is not. So
Jeez.
Turkey is number one.
Oh, my God, and I wanted to go there.
Yo, they was just trying to fly me out to Turkey.
They were probably going to kidnap you.
Look, so they was trying to fly me out. They said they'd pay for the hair plugs and everything. They just wanted me to document it. And
Yo, what
it,
if that was all a lie to get you there to kidnap?
Bro, they was trying to sell, like, my organs and shit on the black market. Damn, how much you think my organs would have sold for?
Nah, like, a liver got to be, like, worth at least 25.
Yeah, now my dad was on me about not doing too much in the UK. He was on me about it. Like, it's crazy out there. Don't be.
I didn't know it was that crazy with the kidnapping.
Did you have fun, though?
I had fun. I wish I would have seen a fight, but I had
Did you
fun.
Go to Nando's?
I did. I got some chicken. Yeah, I got some good chicken.
Was it as good as people say? Because they try to act like you got to go to the UK. If you go to the UK, you got to have Nando's.
It ain't. It ain't that. No, it ain't as good as they say.
It ain't that.
I would get the barbecue chicken if I went.
Okay.
So the last time I went, I got the barbecue chicken. That was pretty good. I was like, yeah, no.
Have you had Nevada
good.
Chicken out here?
Yeah, I had that. Yeah.
Is it better?
It's about the same, honestly. I like Nevada chicken a little better, though.
Two. Have you gone to the one over there by Silas Gym? Or you?
Yeah, I went to the one by Silas Gym.
Okay. That's the one. Even though the other one is like way uppier, right?
The one by the Hooters.
Yeah.
There's one by
nice
that Hooters.
Nice clean over there.
Yeah, nice.
Cause that Spanish one.
The one I saw you at.
Yeah.
The Hooters I saw you at.
Yeah, it's another Nevada chicken around the corner from there. That's really nice and pretty big and spacious and clean.
But I didn't get the chicken when I went to Nevada. I got like the ribs. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, no, you got to get the chicken.
Oh, you got to get the chicken.
I like the ribs.
I feel like I tried the ribs and it wasn't as hitting, man. It wasn't.
I don't know if I've got the ribs, but I love the chicken.
Yeah.
Definitely love the chicken.
No, the chicken good. I've tried it, but I Kay's probably got it for me and I tried it.
Speaking of chicken, who are you using during camp?
I use professional athletes.
Oh, okay. So they cook for you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What's the menu like?
It's kind of hard to explain, but there's a lot of like protein, vegetables. They make beans. They make a lot of stuff.
Does it taste good or is it like, damn, it's time to go to camp?
It's good. It's in camp. So, okay. I mean, it's better. It's better than just eating some regular meal prep food.
Yeah,
How long have you been using them?
Just my second camp.
Oh, wow. That's very early. What made you go? Because, you know, most fighters, we talk to them, and then they're like 10 fights in. They're like, no, I'm still doing it myself. Like, yeah, I cook my own food.
Yeah.
Why so early? What, just because of the team you're around, or?
Well, honestly, I feel like I wasn't losing the weight right, and I needed a team to explain to me how to lose it right. At first, I went to, like, the last minute to start, like, cutting weight, and it'll be a wearing. It'll be a wear and tear, but it wouldn't show fight night. But later on, if I kept doing that later on, eventually it'll show. But I needed a team to, you know, give me the right perspective on how to lose weight, and then also eating the right training camp food, not going out to restaurants and stuff like that, eating food. Because I was in Houston, so I was eating the wrong food.
Oh, you was going to turkey legs.
Yeah,
he was getting all that soul food.
He was going to the address for brunch on Sundays. Okay.
Wait. So perfecting athletes comes to you.
Well, they'll come to me. Like,
because you said you were in Houston, now you're in Vegas. So how do you get the food?
So like they'd be out there for like Swift, or they'd be out there for somebody else, and they'd be like, "Hey, Troy, we're out here. Do you need some meal preps? So, you know, to be cooked," and they'll make, you know, some breakfast, some lunch, and some dinner meal preps for me to, you know, to eat and stuff like that. So, and then I'll just go pick them up.
Okay. Yeah, now I see a lot of people.
How'd you get hit to that particular company? Like, why them over so many other people out here?
Honestly, I didn't do my second camp in Houston. The second camp was the Shakur and the Nakina fight, and we partnered with Bomac and them for that camp. So Pauline and them were around Bomac and them at first. And Bomac, and she's worked with Bomac, Kenny, and Shakur and all of them. And Kay was just like, "Hey, we're just going to start using them. We're going to start working with professional athletes." And that's kind of like how it happened. We were in Colorado.
Okay. So Fight the Fight, how do you feel it's helped, and what do you feel has changed and you've learned?
It gets easier and easier to make weight each fight. Honestly, my first two fights, I would have to wear a sauna suit. I'd be like maybe 10 pounds over the night before weigh-ins and stuff like that. So, I'd be like 10 pounds over like the way before. It would just be like I would really have to like lose the weight. It's like now I could just I'd be like 2 or 3 pounds over maybe the day before, and I could just take a bath and I'd be good after that. So the weight is getting lost easier. So it's not like I'm killing myself to really make that weight.
For sure. I believe you've sparred Adamus once, right?
Yeah, I sparred Adamus once last camp.
What did you think of his performance? Did you think it was going to look like that? Because if you was just in there.
Yeah.
Oh, you did think that.
I didn't think it was going to look like he was going to do that like that early, but. I mean, I thought he'd dominate, dude.
You thought knockout?
Yeah, I thought knockout.
Wow. What the fuck did I miss, bro? It's because he was in Mexico. Like, when I seen him, he looked like he was getting tired.
Adamus?
So, yeah.
Okay.
So I didn't think, bro, he was explosive. And
oh, yeah.
A lot of the times, I ain't going to lie, when the fighters start cutting down on that weight, the energy level goes up. So how late in camp was it? Was it late in camp?
I don't know. I got to have some action.
All right. But I mean, or maybe he was just getting to camp, but I ain't going to lie. Like, when I'm getting down that way, my energy level is at. So it's like, I ain't, you feel me? So I can see what you're saying.
Yeah. He looked sensational.
Yeah.
He looked good. He looked real good.
At least I'm going to be honest, because I just didn't expect it. I'm like, he gonna win by decision, you know. And then then you know, we were told some things, you know. We were told he was putting hands on people for this camp. So I'm like,
yes, yes. Which is crazy, because
you want to tell him so bad and realize you can't. Oh man. Not
off
on
air.
Off air. But Troy, definitely. We got one.
All right, let me refresh. Let me see if anything came.
Yo, so what'd you get from Hooters that day? I'm just curious.
I got some wings that day.
Okay.
Yeah, I got some wings. I was in the mood for some wings.
Wait,
so
during camp?
This is like maybe like
this
is
like
out.
No. That means that the diet plan works well. If it allows you to, you know, do certain things.
Yeah, I was gonna say this was at least a month ago. So.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's the beginning of camp.
We had some time. It wasn't at the beginning of camp, because I mean, I was in camp. I got in camp maybe like mid September, but I was in Michigan with Coach Al, so I was been in camp. It was just I got out here the beginning of Vegas camp, basically.
I got two questions. One of them looks like they don't know you've moved up. But we'll start with New York Bullet, who says, what's good, champ? If you were able to have a fantasy fight with any fighter of your choice, who would it be? Blessings.
Probably a fight with Canelo in the future. That would be big for sure.
We got Brandon Houston says, let's say boxing had a WWE style stipulation match and you were in an I retire match where the loser had to retire. You are given three choices of opponents: Tim Zhu, Sebastian Fundora, Brian Castaño. Damn.
I mean, I retire fight.
So Castaño, Fundora, and Tim Zhu.
Those are all tough ass fights.
Right.
Yo, Chad, you ain't see Taraki Shay just sit fucking
Tim Zhu down.
Tim Zhu on his ass.
But he got up. That showed that Ryan Garcia adversity.
So
But you think Terrell hitting like Troy? Troy, you hitting harder than Terrell?
I'ma cheat and give you my answer. I would say Tim Zhu. If Tim is around when you're fighting at that level, that means he's a big name. He's a son of a legend. That means he might have beat Charlo or had a great fight with Charlo. So Tim would be the biggest money fight. I ain't going to say that Sebastian can't steal that. You know, he's what, half Mexican and half Cuban.
Yeah.
He's TV.
He's too nice.
Yeah,
being you too nice.
Yeah,
right?
Both nice.
You need a somebody.
Villain.
Yeah, somebody got to be the bad guy. So Sebastian, that's too much. Tim Zhu, he kind of too nice too. So,
but
I don't see
you got the two country rivalry.
Yeah,
though.
But that's what you should do. Yeah, yeah. Devin just came whooped on the other countryman. I'm gonna come whoop on you, and then you pull the Bernard Hopkins. In Puerto Rico, you grab the flag,
Jesus.
And you throw it on the ground.
He's getting excited.
And you throw it
on the
ground.
Excited.
So that's what you can't have too many nice people.
That's I guess.
All right,
so I guess we'll take Tim Zhu.
Yeah, we're going to have the PJ on standby to get up out from down under. I would like that. The Tim Zhu fight.
Yeah, that's a good fight. And I'm sure he's going to try.
How do you think he does against Charlo?
That's what I was going to say. I'm sure he's going to put up a good fight versus Charlo.
I don't know. I ain't going to lie. I don't know. I got to see.
Uh-oh. So J.R. Toke says, how would he feel about fighting Fundora, as Fundora doesn't really use his reach? Yeah, but that's
he fight
he's
on
good
the, inside.
The inside.
Yeah, he got a good inside game. You got to watch out for them uppercuts.
Word.
But, I mean, honestly, I feel like that would work towards my way. Because I like to throw a lot of body shots, and I will place my shots. I throw the right shots, and I throw them at the right. I place them right, basically. So I mean, it would be a good fight, but it would lean towards my way. I feel like, but it'd be a good fight.
Got to chop that tree down.
So how long have you been working with Coach Flick?
Coach Flick, I've been known Flick because I used to go to Herd camps and spar with Herd. So, but Flick, I want to say. I've been working with Flick since 2020.
Okay.
Since when he was down in Houston, he had come down. So, I mean, I've been working with Flick for a while. I mean, Flick got very good rapport. He's a voice that, you know, he has a good voice. And he has a voice that makes, like, he has a voice, that, you know, that makes you push. He's one of the people that, you know, that can get, like, I said, all right, come on, Troy. And, you know, he can, you know, get me to focus in and lock in and push. But I like working with Flick, for sure. That's my guy.
I ain't gonna
he'll
lie.
Let you know too when you're doing if you're not doing good, or he'll let you know. He'll keep it 100. He not no fucking yes man. He gonna let you know, like, you ain't looking good, bro. Like, you gotta get that shit together. He gonna let you know, and that's what I fuck with too.
I think Castaño would be huge. Those Argentinians talk mad shit. I was there when they fought the first and the second time, and the first time that brawl broke out at the weigh-in because them Argentinians serious. Yo, and
he also,
I think he the most beatable. Like, I feel like, like the way Charlo placed those body shots in the second fight, like his assistant coach and Juan Guzman was showing footage of them working on that in training and how easy it was for him to apply that in the fight. So I think that's another good former world champ you could put hands on.
I was going to say what I like about Castaño is that he's got, like, the whole Tony Montana thing going on. Even though he's not Cuban, he's Argentine, but he wears the glasses. You know, he talks slick.
The colorful shirts, he'll have them opened up.
Yeah, he's just showing the hamburger meat. So, yeah, man, he's all right, man. That's not a bad villain. And he's a puncher, so people always love punchers. But, Troy, those are all our questions. We're going to go ahead and wrap up. Take a picture. We do have to come back because I feel like there is slightly some things that we need to touch on with Franklin and Dillian White. But, yeah, can we run the promo and we'll be back. What's up? What's up? Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Troy Ainslie. He's going to be fighting next week. I just want to come back and wrap up with the Dillian White versus Jermaine Franklin. Decent top 10, top 15 fight for Dillian White to come back after a big loss to Tyson Fury where he attempted to win his first title shot. Now, I did want to remind you guys that Jermaine Franklin has put on some weight, man. Nearly 50 pounds since his last fight. And obviously, you know, when he fought Pavel Sauer, that was in 2019. So being out the ring for as long as he has, he's put on quite a bit of weight since then. And now he just got this fight in May. And hopefully that's one training camp. Factor in this next training camp for the Dillian White fight, if they can finalize it, because Demetrius Salida is saying this is very close. And this is something that we've heard before. And what I mean by that is we've heard that Dillian White may possibly face Jermaine Franklin. Hopefully Franklin doesn't sit around waiting if this doesn't happen and ends up falling apart. Because for him, he can't continue to sit out 3 years without a fight, man. So just to pull it up, back in 2019, he was 231 pounds. My man is 277 in May, which that fight happened in May. So, you know, he gained up even a little bit more, unless he was disciplined enough to go straight back into the gym and do what he needs to do. Let me just check here if we have any callers. You know, Blog Talk is open. The number to call in is 1-455-569-5241 if you want to voice your opinion on the Voice of the People hotline. And I'm checking if we got any super chats that I need to get to before we wrap up our episode here at the Blue Wire Studio from the Wynn Casino. Looks like we have none to get to either. So time to wrap it up. My name is Nestor Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NestGTO. Ringwalk Danny at Ringwalk Danny on all forms of social media. Catch us tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Peace.
So let me ask you about the audio files. Do you prefer
MP3?
Just one track?
Just the one track.
You don't want all the stems ever? Okay.
I've been said that.
So just a single track MP3.
That's all I need.
I'll tell you.
That's all I need. Okay. The MP4, you guys can continue to send it to the editors because they definitely need it. But for me, for the upload, all I need is an MP3.
So video goes Cannabis, Men, Ignorant Boxing, you, and the audio just goes to you.
That's it.
Good Zendy.
Thank you again, man. I appreciate
it. Yeah, that was a good show. It sounded good.
Thank you. Yeah, he had a time in love, too.
Huh?
Yeah, so it's time in love, too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro, man, he's an Olympian.
Yeah.
City loves him. But no, they get the work.
I'm sure. You can start.
Just got this fight in May, and hopefully that's one training camp factor in this next training.
If you're not doing good, or he'll let you know. He'll keep it 100. He not no fucking yes man. He gonna let you know like you ain't looking good, bro. Like you gotta get that shit together. He gonna let you know, and that's what I fuck with too.
Now that I think about it, I think Castaño would be huge. Those Argentinians talk mad.
Dillian White. But, yeah, can we run the promo and we'll be back? He's got, like, the whole Tony Montana thing going on. Even though he's not Cuban, he's Argentine, but he wears the glasses. You know, he talks slick.
The colorful shirts, he'll have them opened up.
Yeah, he's just showing the hamburger meat and shit. So, yeah, man, he's all right. Man. That's not a bad villain. And he's a puncher, so people always love punchers. But, Troy, those are all our questions. We're going to go ahead and wrap up, take a picture. Do have to come back because I feel like there is slightly some things that we need to touch on with Franklin and Dillian White. But, yeah, run the promo and we'll be back.
If you're not doing good, or he'll let you know. He'll keep it 100. He not no fucking yes man. He gonna let you know like you ain't looking good, bro. Like you gotta get that. And also,
I ain't gonna
he'll
lie.
Let you know too when you doing. If you're not doing good, or he'll let you know. He'll keep it 100. He not no fucking yes man. He gonna let you know like you ain't looking good, bro. Like you gotta get that shit together. He gonna let you know, and that's what I fuck with too. But it'd be a good fight.
Gotta chop that tree down.
So how long have you been working with Coach Flick?
Coach Flick, I've been known Flick because I used to go to Herd camps and spar with Herd. I ain't gonna lie, I don't know. I gotta see.
So J.R. Tope says, how would he reach?
Yeah, but that's he fight on good the inside.
Yeah, he got a good inside game. You gotta watch out for them uppercuts.
Word.
But I mean.
Yeah, but that's he fight on good the inside.
Yeah, he got a good inside game. You gotta watch out for
gonna try
how do you
and,
think he
and,
does against Charlo?
That's what I was going to say. I'm sure he's going to put up a good fight versus Charlo.
I don't know. I ain't going to lie. I don't know. I got to see.
Uh-oh. All
right, so I guess we'll take Tim Zoo.
Yeah, we're going to have the PJ on standby to get up out from down under.
We'll take Tim Zoo.
Yeah, we're going to have the PJ on standby to get up out from down under.
All right, we'll take Tim Zoo.
Yeah, we're going to have the PJ on standby to get up out from down under. You can't have too many nice people.
I guess we'll take Tim Zoo.
Yeah, we're going to have...
I guess we'll take Tim Zoo.
Yeah, we're going to have the PJ on standby.
You pull the Bernard Hopkins
when
in Puerto Rico, you grab the flag. Whoops, I'm an other countryman. I'm going to come with you. And then you pull the Bernard Hopkins
when
in Puerto Rico.
Flag,
you grab
the
flag.
Flag.
You throw it on the ground.
He's
in Puerto Rico,
flag,
you grab
the flag.
You throw it on the ground.
You throw it on the ground.
Bro, that's what you can't have too many nice people. You throw it on the ground. You throw it on the ground. Bro, that's what you can't have.
You can't have too many nice.
Yeah, well, that's what you should do. Yeah, yeah. Devin just came whooped on the other countryman. I'm gonna come whoop on you, and then you pull the Bernard Hopkins whoop on you, and then you pull the
country rivalry.
Yeah, well, that's what you should do. Yeah, yeah. Devin just came whooped on the other countryman. I'm gonna come whoop on you, and then you too much. Tim Zoo, he kind of too nice too. So,
but,
honestly,
but
sure,
you got
what you
the
should
country
do.
Rival.
Yeah,
though.
But that's what you should do. Yeah, yeah.
On
he's
TV,
just too nice.
Yeah,
being you too nice.
Yeah,
right?
Nice.
You need somebody.
Villain.
Yeah, somebody got to be the bad guy. So Sebastian, that's too much.
Half Mexican and half Cuban.
Yeah.
He's
just too nice.
Yeah,
being you too nice,
yeah,
right?
Nice.
You need
a
somebody.
Villain.
Yeah, somebody got to be the bad guy. So,
Ben.
Yeah.
He's
just too nice.
Yeah,
being you too nice,
yeah,
right?
Nice.
You need somebody.
Villain.
Yeah, somebody got to be the bad guy. So Sebastian, that's too much. Tim Zoo,
half Mexican and half Cuban. He's TV.
Just too nice.
Yeah,
being you too nice.
Yeah,
right?
Both nice.
You need somebody.
Villain.
Yeah, somebody got to be the bad guy. So Sebastian, that's too much. Tim Zoo, he kind of too nice too. So
that means he might have beat Charlo or had a great fight with Charlo. So Tim would be the biggest money fight. I ain't going to say that Sebastian can't steal that. You know, he's what? Half Mexican and half Cuban.
Yeah.
But you think Terrell hitting like Troy? Troy, you hitting harder than Terrell?
I'm going to cheat and give you my answer. I would say Tim Zoo.
I would say
if Tim
Zoo.
I'm going to cheat and give you my answer. I would say Tim Zoo.
I would say
if Tim
Zoo.
Is around when you're fighting at that level, that means he's a big name. He's a son of a legend. That means he might have beat Charlo or had a great fight with Charlo. So they're all tough-ass fights.
Right.
Yo, Chad, you ain't see Terrell Gishay just sit fucking
Tim Zoo
on his ass.
But he got up.
That showed that Ryan Garcia version.
Tim Zoo down.
Tim Zoo on his ass.
But he got up. That showed that Ryan Garcia adversity.
Tim
Zoo down.
Tim Zoo on his ass.
But he got up. That showed that. Tim Zoo down.
Tim Zoo on his ass.
But he got up. That showed that Ryan Garcia adversity.
So.
But you think Terrell hitting like Troy?
Troy, you hitting
adversity.
So.
But you think Terrell hitting like
showed that, that Ryan Garcia adversity.
So.
But you think Terrell hitting like Troy? Troy, you hitting harder than Terrell?
I'm going to cheat and give you my answer. Match where the loser had to retire. You are given three choices of opponents. Tim Zoo.
I retire fight.
So Castanho, Fandor, and Tim Zoo.
Those are all tough ass fights.
Right.
Yo, Chan, you ain't see Terrell Gishay just sit fucking
Tim Zoo down.
Tim Zoo on his
A fight with Canelo in the future. That would be big for sure.
We got Brandon in Houston that says, let's say boxing had a WWE style stipulation match and you were in an I retire match where the loser had to retire. You were given three choices of opponents. Tim Zoo, Sebastian Fundora, Brian Castaño.
I retire fight.
Fundora, Brian Castaño. Damn.
I retire fight.
I got two questions. One of them looks like they don't know you've moved up. But we'll start with New York Bullet, who says, what's good, champ? If you were able to have blessings.
Probably a fight with Canelo in the future. That would be big for sure.
We got Brandon in Houston to do certain things.
I was going to say, this was at least a month ago. So.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's the beginning of camp.
We had some time. It wasn't at the beginning of camp because, I mean, I was in camp. I got in camp maybe like mid-September, but I was in Michigan with Coach Al. So I was been in camp. I got out here the beginning of Vegas camp, basically.
I got two questions. One of them, during camp?
This is like maybe like this is like out.
No. That means that the diet plan works well.
Sure, definitely. We got more.
Let me refresh. Let me see if anything came in.
Yo, so what'd you get from Hooters that day? I'm just curious.
I got some wings that day.
Okay.
Yeah, I got some wings. I was in the mood for some wings.
Wait,
so
during camp?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But Troy, definitely. But Troy, definitely. I'm so bad and realized you can't. Oh man. Not
all
on
fair.
Air. Oh man. Not
all
on
fair.
Air.
Off the air.
But Troy, that's told some things, you know. We're told he was putting hands on people for this camp somewhere.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is crazy. Because.
He look real good.
At least, I'm going to be honest, because I just didn't expect it. I'm like, he going to win by decision. You know, and then we were told some things. You know, we're told he was putting hands on people.
All right, but I mean, or maybe he was just getting into camp, but I ain't going to lie. Like, when I'm getting down that way, my energy level is at. So it's like, I ain't, you feel me? So I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, he looked sensational.
Yeah?
He looked good. He looked real good.
Yeah.
At least, I'm going to be honest, because I just didn't expect it. I'm like.
Camp was it? Was it late in camp?
I don't know. I got some action.
All right, but I mean, or maybe he was just getting into camp, but I ain't gonna lie, energy level goes up. So, how late in camp was Adames?
Yeah. Okay. So I didn't think, bro, he was explosive and What the fuck did I miss, bro? It's because he was in Mexico. Like when I seen him, he looked like he was getting tired.
Adames?
So, yeah. So I didn't think.
Yeah.
Oh, you did think that.
I didn't think it was going to look like he was going to do that like that early. But I mean, I thought he'd dominate, dude.
You thought knockout.
I mean, I thought he'd dominate, dude.
You thought.
Take a bath and I'll be good after that. So the weight is getting lost easier. So it's not like I'm killing myself to really make that weight.
For sure. I believe you've sparred Adames once, right?
Yeah, I sparred Adames once last camp.
What did you think of his performance? Did you think it was going to look like that? Because if you was just in there.
Yeah.
Oh, you did think that.
I didn't think it was going to look like. So, I'd be like 10 pounds over like the way before. It would just. That's kind of like how it happened. We were in Colorado.
Okay.
So Fight the Fight, how do you feel it's helped, and what do you feel has changed, and you?
And then I'll just go pick them up.
Okay. Yeah, now I see a lot of people.
How'd you get hit to that particular company? Like, why them over so many other people out here?
Honestly, I didn't do my second camp in Houston.
Company. Like, why them over so many other people out here?
Honestly, so, like, they'd be out there for, like, Swift, or they'd be out there for somebody else. And, well, they would come to me.
Oh, he was going to the address for brunch on Sundays. Circulate,
all that soul food.
He was going to the address for brunch on Sundays.
Okay. Wait. So Perfecting Athletes comes to you.
Address for brunch on Sundays. Okay.
Wait. So Perfecting Athletes comes to you.
Well, they'll come to me. Like, so.
Because you said you were in Houston. Now you're
address for brunch on Sundays. Okay.
Wait. So
to stuff like that. Eating food, wrong food.
Oh, you was going to turkey legs.
Yeah.
He was
getting
all that soul food. He was going to the address.
Wrong food.
Oh, you was going to turkey legs.
Yeah.
He was
getting
all that soul food. He was going to the address for brunch on Sundays. Okay.
Especially in the show, but I needed a team to, you know, give me the right.
That's very early. What made you go? Because, you know, most fighters, we talk to them, and then they're like 10 fights in. They're like, nah, I'm still doing it myself. Like, yeah, I cook my own food.
Regular meal prep food.
Yeah,
season.
How long have you been using them?
Since my second camp.
Oh, wow. That's very early. What made you go? Yeah, it's time to go to camp.
It's good. It's in camp. So, okay. I mean, it's better. It's better than just eating some regular meal prep food.
Long have you been using them?
Since my NA season.
How long have you been using them?
Since my second camp.
Season. How long have you been using them?
Since my second camp.
Oh, wow. That's,
they make beans. They make a lot of stuff.
Taste good, or is it like, damn, it's time to go to camp?
It's good. It's in camp. So, okay. I mean, it's bad. It's kind of hard to
explain.
I use Perfecting Athletes.
Oh, okay. So they cook for you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What's the menu like?
It's kind of hard to
explain.
But it's the chicken good. I've tried it, but Kay's probably got it for me, and I tried.
Speaking of chicken, who are you using during camp?
I use Perfecting Athletes.
Oh, okay. So they cook for you? Mm. It wasn't.
I don't know if I've got the ribs, but I love the chicken.
Yeah. The chicken good.
I've got the ribs, but I love the chicken.
Yeah.
Definitely love the chicken.
The chicken good. I've tried it, but
Definitely love the chicken.
The chicken good. I've tried it, but Kay's probably got it for me, and I tried it.
Speaking of chicken, who are you? It wasn't.
I don't know if I've got the ribs, but I love the chicken.
Yeah.
Definitely love the chicken.
The chicken good.
You got to get the chicken.
You got to get the chicken.
I like the ribs.
I feel like I tried the ribs and it wasn't as hit.
Spacious and clean. But,
I didn't get the chicken when I went to who the fuck you at?
Yeah, it's another Nevada chicken around the corner from there that's really nice and pretty big and spacious and clean.
The
Hooters?
Yeah.
There's one by
nice
that Hooters.
Nice and clean over there.
Yeah, nice.
Because that Spanish one.
The one I saw you
down.
At?
Yeah.
The Hooters I saw you at?
Yeah, it's another Nevada chicken.
Okay.
That's the one. Even though the other one is like way. Okay. Even though the other one is like way uppedia, right?
The one by the Hooters.
Yeah.
There's one by
nice
that Hooters.
And clean over there.
Yeah, nice.
Because that's
about the same, honestly. I like Nevada chicken a little better, though.
I was about to say that, too. Have you gone to the one over there by Silas Gym, or you going?
Yeah, I went to the one by Silas Gym.
That's the one. Even though the other one is like way.
The barbecue chicken, that was pretty good. I was like, yeah, no,
have
that
you had Nevada
good.
Chicken out here?
Yeah, I had that.
Is it better?
It's about the same, honestly. I like Nevada chicken a little better, though.
It ain't that.
Preferably, I would get the barbecue chicken if I went.
Okay.
The last
time. Nando's.
It ain't that.
It ain't that.
It's, I mean, preferably I would get the barbecue chicken. Yeah, I got some good chicken.
Was it as good as people say? Because they try to act like you got to go to the UK. If you go to the UK, you got to have Nando's.
It ain't. I had fun. I wish I would have seen a fight, but I had
fun.
Did
you go to Nando's?
I did. I got some chicken. Yeah. I got some good chicken.
Was it as good as people say? Because they try to act like you got to go to the UK. If
I seen the UK. He was on me about it. Like, it's crazy out there. Don't be.
I didn't know it was that crazy with the kidnapping.
Did you have fun, though?
I had fun.
Damn, how much you think my organs would have sold for?
Nah, like a liver gotta be like worth at least 25.
Yeah, nah, my dad was on me.
Documented. And
yo, what if that was all a lie to get you there to kidnap?
Bro, they was trying to sell like my organs and shit on the black market. Damn, how much you think my organs would have sold for?
Nah, like a liver gotta be like worth at least.
They
were probably gonna kidnap me.
So they was trying to fly me out. They said they'd pay for the hair plugs and everything. They just wanted me to document it. And
yo, what
it.
If that was all?
UK is top 10 in kidnapping.
Whoa.
The Netherlands is not. So
jeez.
Turkey is number one.
Oh, my God. And I wanted to go there.
Yo, they was just trying to fly me out to Turkey.
They were probably going to kidnap me.
So they was trying to fly me out. They said they'd pay for the hair plugs and everything. They just wanted me to dispute that title. Yo, how'd you forget the UK? You was just out there.
Yeah.
Damn, 11.
I did forget the UK, but
so,
I mean,
always be there. Once you win the title, then the desire has to change to defend that title. Then the desire has to change to unify that title.
You was young when you won it.
Yeah. So desire to compete has to always be there. Once you win the title. Then if you win that world title and you lose it and you tell me, nah, Ness, I mean, I just fucked up because I was young and I wanted to, I'm like, bro,
you've been working your whole life telling me your whole life, like right now,
I've been following you since you were 0-0, since you're an Olympian. Your whole goal is to get a world title. Get to that world title shot, win it, then lose it, and say they know how not to lose it after they lost it. It's like, bro, you've been working your whole life, telling me your whole life. Like right now, I've been following you since you were 0-0, since you're an Olympian. I don't know if you were paying attention, but we were talking about that. Just slightly different, the desire to compete. You know, we just kind of worded it different about people that get to that world title shot, win it, then lose it, and say they know how not to lose it after they lost it. It's like, bro, you've been working your whole life, telling me your whole life. Like right now, I've been following you since you were 0-0, since you're an Olympian.
You know, good fight to make in a few years for sure.
You guys have sparred ever? You have?
Yeah.
Has he ever trained under the same trainer as you?
No.
Oh. I got another one here from Profound Dreamer. He says, Mike Tyson says, desire to compete is the most difficult obstacle for a fighter. What is the biggest inspiration for maintaining your desire to compete at this?
I know Truck. I mean, it'll be a good. Yeah.
He got a knockdown, but a UD, right?
Yeah, one decision. Would you be open
you
to that?
You guys must know each other because you, Alexandria, and fucking, what, he's from Baltimore. That's right there.
I know Truck. I mean, it'll be a good fight. From
our YouTube member, Larry Smoothie says, how would you feel about fighting Truck Simpson? Did you even know that he won? He just won Saturday in Australia.
Yeah.
He got a knockdown, but a UD, right?
Yeah, one decision. Would you be open
you
to that?
You guys must know each other because you, Alexandria, and fucking, what, he's from Baltimore. That's right there.
I know Truck. I mean.
And the one with Liam Nelson when they snatch his daughter. Oh, no.
I'm going to go.
Oh, no.
Has to be based in the Netherlands.
I don't know.
Bro, that's like, and the one with Liam Nelson when he's when they snatch
him. Yeah, Hostel.
I think Hostel in Kazakhstan or like.
No. No. Hey, isn't that
Yeah, Hostel?
I think Hostel in Kazakhstan or like.
No. Oh, no.
I'm going to go.
I took that serious.
What?
Being kidnapped. Like, the Netherlands is huge for that. Like, isn't that where all the movies is from? Like, there's even, what's the movie? Hostel, right?
Hostage. He started calling us stuff like that.
No, we were
denying the call. We was like, don't answer. You know, we got to at least get to the house.
But none of y'all took that serious?
What?
Being kidnapped. Like, the Netherlands is huge for that. Like, isn't that where all the...
No, they ain't going to tell you about it.
So which one of those country had the most appealing women?
That was too young.
They ain't tell us about that. Tokyo was probably my favorite.
I ain't go to the red light district.
And what?
That was too young.
They ain't tell us about that. Tokyo was probably my favorite.
I ain't go to the red light district.
And what?
That was too young.
They ain't tell us about that.
It's just nice.
So which one of those countries treated you the best? You went through the Kazakhstan.
Tokyo or either Tokyo. Tokyo was probably the best in Europe and stuff like that.
When you say fruit snacks, were they like real fruits or you mean like, you know, little...
They was like
gummy bear candy?
No.
Which one of those countries treated you the best? And you felt the creepiest in, or like people were always looking at you. I don't know. Which one you didn't like out of all those?
The one I did like was my first time in Kazakhstan.
Okay. Why?
We fought in Netherlands, but we toured Amsterdam.
Okay. That's amazing.
10 countries outside of the U.S.?
That's crazy.
Yeah, that was like some of the best time of my life right there.
Which one was
I
your favorite?
Imagine.
Netherlands, Amsterdam.
Really?
Besides Tokyo, that's all I can remember.
He was counting. How many is that?
8 outside of the U.S.
How many of those?
Amsterdam's and Netherlands, too.
Oh, wow. You,
and you said Amsterdam and the Netherlands.
Countries has boxing taken you to? I know the games was in Tokyo, right? That's one.
Tokyo, Kazakhstan, Bulgaria.
What?
Like 3 different parts of Germany. They're very supportive.
I feel like we asked you the Devin Haney question, but I'm going to ask anyway. Would you have gone without your dad or your mother to Australia to get those belts the way that he had to under those? But it didn't say that you are.
Yeah.
So when you said your, I'm like, oh, okay. Pretty cool. But it did say your mom and your sister try to be at all your fights. Is that true?
My mom has been there.
Just bought one in Houston and showed this your course. So it's like, I'm asking the kind of the same question that may happen for you.
Yeah.
Because I just read that, obviously, your mom, pretty unfair. It's pretty unfair. And it's crazy because it wasn't always like this. It changed.
So it used to be cheap
rent. If you're paying rent, you're paying someone else's mortgage. You just need to remember that.
But he was asking you about your first home because he feels that our boxers should move to Vegas.
No. I was just, you know, wondering since I didn't know he still lived in Alexandria. So that hasn't happened yet. Like, obviously, we learned that Jared just bought one in mortgage. You just need to remember that.
But he was asking you about your first home because he feels that our boxers should move to Vegas.
I was just... State, man.
Nah, yeah.
I ain't trying to pay no rent.
Yeah,
if you paying rent, you paying someone else's mortgage. You just need to remember that.
But he was asking you a
beautiful, beautiful home. It was a good show. It was a good show. They definitely have amazing She had amazing interior design. You know,
look at us over here.
Nah, I love. Yo, listen, real estate, man.
Nah, yeah.
I ain't trying to pay no rent.
They got divorced again.
No, they
divorced and they got remarried with somebody else.
People. Oh, with other people.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she married some rich dude. He had a beautiful, beautiful home. I'm pretty sure she married some rich dude. He had a beautiful, beautiful home. It was a It's a good show. It was a good show. They definitely had amazing. She had a amazing life. They were killing it out here, and they got me Googling. And prices were nothing like they're like right now. And those guys were able to divorce, remarry, make spin like right now. And those guys were able to divorce.
For like $180,000.
There was a show years ago called Flippin' Las Vegas. And that was an amazing show. Him and his wife.
Mm-hmm. And I like the prices down there. They got real good prices for houses down there. So you can't
nice
beat
square
them.
Footage.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Huge property too. Like here, some houses it's like you could high five your neighbor out the window and shit. Huge property too. Like here, some houses it's like you could high five your neighbor out the window and shit. It's so close.
Nah, the backyards is. You got to be rich here, man. It's pretty unfair. It's pretty unfair. And it's crazy because, I mean windows or nothing.
Okay.
I got
anything
lucky, too. I got lucky. I seen Fort Myers was looking crazy. It got flooded out there.
So you said Houston, is that,
let me tell you, my wife was going crazy. Like, the highest might have, you know, because you could board up the wind. Like, man, fuck it. What are we paying insurance for? You know what I'm saying? I love it like that. Ain't nothing come flying through the windows or nothing.
Okay.
I mean, I got lucky because I seen Fort Myers was looking crazy. I'm exaggerating. My brother been out there like 15 years, three houses in and nothing.
Okay.
And
let me tell you, my wife was going crazy. Like,
I'm just saying like.
Because I got a house in Florida and I just lost my gate. One of them. It wasn't even all
It
four.
Wasn't that bad?
Nah. Yo, people be over-exaggerating. My brother been out there like 15 years.
But
Wait. So you have family back in Florida right now?
Nah.
So you talking about an older hurricane?
Maybe a hurricane. But I'm just saying, you know.
Because I got a house to buy your first home.
This with some friends.
When the time comes, where do you think you'll buy your first home?
This right here is one of the places. Either here...
I didn't know you still live out there. Oh, yeah. So you just come.
It feels good though. It feels good.
Wait,
what
so you still live in Alexandria?
30 minutes. Like as soon as I get there, here come give him like damn. I know I'm in trouble. He's like, why would you tell that little girl that? And then you know, it's police. I knew I was in trouble because you know when I get in trouble in school, my dad would come to the rec like. Well, let's
hold
fight.
On,
but,
hold on. What you used to say, Troy? Because I was bad as hell in school. What you used to say?
They were really excited to see you back and I just want to know how that felt and how do you think so many of those kids know you?
I know I gotta continue to do that. I can't fall off track.
So I wanted you to just tell me in your own words how it
sometimes, but do you feel any pressure? Because whether you like
it's great. It was great, you know, seeing the young kids and, you know, it was great.
Do you feel any pressure?
Because, you know, because of the amateur style, so honestly.
So, Troy, when was it that you went back to your old school? Because honestly...
The transition
it
was
announced like that fight week, wasn't it? Wasn't it like the same week?
It was the same.
And you fought all over, man.
Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say because...
Absolutely, man. And I think that's what I've enjoyed the most. We're cheating. We know you personally, but I mean the fan, if they see you regularly on and we know you personally, but I
gonna move me right and they're gonna keep me busy.
Absolutely, man. And I think that's what I've enjoyed the most is, you know, because you're so active,
you're going to fight 63. Mm. You're not making 54.
And they know better, man. But they've been keeping you very busy, man. I've been loving the activity and being able. How has that been for you to always know when you're going to fight and fighting so often?
That's good. Honestly, you know, I see, you know, 58, but he came overweight, so weighed in a little heavier.
So middleweight it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, I've been fighting middleweights, like they haven't been giving me. Yeah.
You fighting at 54, right?
No, I'm doing 60.
So you're doing 60.
Yeah.
So you're done. Because I know you've been like in between.
Yeah, I've been trying to do in between, but I.
You fighting at 54, right?
No, I'm doing 60.
Who you been sparring with, champ?
So I mean, I've been getting a lot of different looks. At first, I was
packed event. First time at the
second time.
Second time at the Garden.
Before June 18th.
Okay. So back to back. How does that make you feel?
I feel good, honestly. I like, you know.
And fighting under the Lomachenko undercard, you know, is going to be an exciting, packed event. First time at the
second time
at the.
And focus on boxing. I'll be out there with Coach Al.
Right. Big fight next weekend. I mean, to me, Garden, it's a different feel.
Mm-hmm. Like doing camps out here.
Now, I was going to ask, you spent time in Marquette doing camp out there as
yeah.
well, right? Compare the two. And
oh, I mean, Marquette is a... Dude, honestly, I just like it out here, honestly. I don't know why. I just like it out here. Like doing camp. No, this six. This six. This is number eight.
What? Sorry, I was just...
I was just going to follow up
and say, what do you feel you get
used to it now? So
for sure.
I've
now,
been doing it for a minute.
How long have you been holding camp out here?
A little smaller.
How did that make you feel?
Ready to fight next week.
I'm just thankful. It's next week, man. What is the fighter going through the week before the fight? All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We are here with Troy Isley. Troy, what's going on, brother? Thank you for joining us here live at the Win, man. How you feeling?
Feeling good.
Back with another one. Very excited. We got the Olympian in the...
And, you know, he's been known not to. So that you can drop him a question. And,
right in the middle of those. Round two, just go right into it. Okay, I'll
David G.
I will talk about.
How you doing, sir?
Say back for round two.
Thank you for joining us again.
By you on the way here, all about change.
Can I? Yep, I can hear you perfect. Can I just get you to tilt that camera down just a hair?
We have mantras, affirmations. Like, what are you most grateful for?
There you go. Oh, too much. Too much. Now, up just a hair. Just a little bit. There you go. Perfect. We're good. Thanks for dialing in again.
David G. I'm great, man. I'm great. How are you doing? Man, David G was getting after it on a hike, Donnie.
Was he? Did you guys all hike together?
Oh, no. hiking back up from the Flat Rock.
Oh. You had some legit athletes you had to keep up with up there.
Yeah, no, sure.
You ready to roll round two? We'll probably go like, I think 40 minutes or so. That's cool. Does that work for you? All right. Mm. That's a good point.
Mm. This is very true. Can't argue that.
All right, we ready, guys?
Rum, 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 rum.
We do these funny warm-up voices.
Rum, 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 rum.
Hit it, Darren. Yeah, we're in Vegas.
Where the wind, baby.
Vegas for the win. Vegas always wins.
You're going to put everything in my name on black on the way out.
How's the hammy?
A lot better.
Is it?
Yeah. It's still pretty strong. I mean, I was getting some body work over the weekend, so that helped a lot. And
all right, guys, we're good. I'll call the ball here. Okay. Count you in. All right, let's roll in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're here for another episode of Comeback Stories, and we are here for round two with our guy, David G.
David G.
Welcome back. You know, I was we're back for more. Right. I was flying in here, and I was listening to one of your many amazing meditations, and one of my favorite ones is one of those albums, and it's the Infinite Flexibility, talking about change. And you have a line in there that I use all the time, and I try to credit it for you most times, and people are like, ooh, that's a good one. Mm. But the line is, change is not part of the process, it is the process. And I know in that meditation you talk about the quote from the Bhagavad Gita of we have total control over our outcomes or our actions, but we don't have control over the fruit of them. Can you just talk a little bit about the power of that and just surrendering to change and how many people struggle when they resist that change. Mm. There's so much there. So yeah. The first thing that I heard in the beginning regarding the quote of we have total control over our actions, but not the fruit of them, is the whole idea of expectations. So a lot of the times I think people, you know, they do certain things and then they expect something in return, which, you know, we know in the program of recovery, what expectations do for us is they typically lead to resentments, but we're, again, trying to control something we can't control. So that was a big takeaway from the beginning, but what were you going to say?
I was going to say, maybe to counteract what David G was saying, as the perspective of somebody that's listening to this episode right now, they may be thinking, well, David G, I don't know, the fruit of my actions looks very attractive. And I can agree with that person from, you know, my past way of thinking, like the fruit that comes with the action, the attention, the fame, the status, the just the acceptance for people that have a hard time accepting themselves. Like me, I settled for the acceptance of others, and that was the fruit of my actions. And I so desperately chased after that. You know, how does somebody go about changing, you know, what is attractive to them from a spiritual sense, from, you know, just on a day-to-day, like the fruit of my actions, what I see is so attractive to me, but how does it become less attractive? How do I go about, you know, wanting to be in the moment? Because being in the moment doesn't necessarily promise me that fruit or that thing that I've been searching for so long.
And this is why we practice meditation, right? Because in the present moment is where we make less mistakes, make better decisions, and really can realign our actions with our core values. So we're making decisions from the present, from our bodies. And I always say, like, the mind is tricky. It takes us down these roads and makes us feel so disconnected from the body. And the work is to merge the two together, where the mind and the body are in the same place at the same time. Earlier, we were talking about change. As a coach, my coaching program is called The Shift, and I just love that because so many people are stuck. And I've been there. I've been there recently and going through a breakup, and there's so much fear. How do you see that? Like, I mean, is that the common theme that you see is why people don't want to change, is because of fear or some form of it?
Facts.
I feel like you're describing my life for the last year, and just being totally, you know, stuck in fear in a relationship. A lot of it was change. A lot of it was what was going to happen with my dogs, and knowing that they were going to have to be split up, and being so attached. Why? This is why the practice of non-attachment is so important, but also so difficult. But once I was able to walk through it, and the only reason I was able to walk through it is because I had help. I had friends, I had a coach, I had a therapist that were able to point out these blind spots. And, you know, as I'm sharing certain things, and they would say, like, sounds like you're really rooted in fear right now. Mm-hmm. And I needed that. I needed that so bad. But at some point, I was able to lean into the change, and moving to California and uprooting and living in Arizona my whole life and building this community and taking this chance, and then to see what's transpired. And David G, as you're making these analogies around the ocean, I mean, like, this is my life now. And what's went down in the last year has just been so magical. And it was scary as hell initially making that move. It's like, what is everybody else going to think? What's going to happen with the dogs? But man, it was one of the, by far, other than getting sober, probably one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. And again, the only reason I could do it is because I didn't do it alone. And I think a lot of people try to stay stuck and they try to make these decisions on their own. And then they end up not making a decision, because making a decision actually is a decision.
Mm. Yeah, I hear David G talking about safety, and that relates to me so much. I've always been somebody that wanted to have something just fall into my lap. Like, I wouldn't, not me having to go out and go through a process to experience some pain or some discomfort for something to happen. Like, I just wanted it to come to me. and me not have to necessarily put any kind of effort into it, or, you know, risk looking dumb or risk failing. And it's like, you look at a word like faith for somebody that believes in God or the universe, or whatever you may believe, that word in itself is uncomfortable. You know, that's belief in something that you really can't scientifically prove to somebody, or, you know, you can't show them exactly how it works. It just requires you believing and having a full conviction in yourself that something better is out there, you know, something more worthwhile is on the other side. But that approach and that belief is uncomfortable because you can't prove it. You can't have 100% confirmation that something is going to happen exactly when you want it to happen or exactly the way you want it to happen. It requires you to get out of that little safety, get out of that. I call it my cave. I always go to my cave and try to isolate because I feel like it's safe there when it's really not. I'm really, you know, tearing myself down with negative self-talk and not allowing myself to experience the brightness and the joy of community. So, yeah, just hearing David G talk about safety and how much of an illusion it is, I hear a word like faith that so many people relate to and say and try to embody, but that in and of itself is an uncomfortable process.
What's really cool how this has come full circle is, you know, I credit you for giving me access to meditation, because I think like many, when they first start meditating, they struggle to get into meditation.
Right.
But I found you, I think it was on like iTunes at the time, and your storytelling, it just made it accessible to me where I could just listen and be guided through my meditations. And it really is what started me in my practice. But on a lot of your meditations, you would start and say, coming to you from the sweet spot of the universe. And I didn't really know what you were talking about, but since I've moved to North County, California, I'm pretty close to you. Now I know exactly what you're talking about. But I think for people that are stuck or unwilling to change, I think you always have to die to the old. To step into the unknown, you have to die to the old, whether that's your thoughts, whether that's your old life. I think some people are unwilling to let go, and so they can't really step into something new. So it's that constant practice of releasing and inviting. You got to let go of something, sacrifice something to achieve something else. But I just come back to, I'm just thinking about all of the people and a lot of my willingness to receive some guidance and help to get through that. And again, man, one of the best decisions I've ever made.
I hear you talking about letting go, and it's like, how do you let go without forgiving yourself first? You know, I hear David G's shower analogy and the way he talked about, you know, I didn't beat myself up changing the knob. And I feel like a lot of people do that, whatever it is in their life, especially with meditation. I feel like that's what may scare a lot of people off from it. It's like, I can't sit still and not have a single thought for 8 hours. Or if their mind drifts, they're like, oh, I can't get this thing right. Like, and come down on themselves so hard instead of, you know, developing that compassion for yourself. And, you know, just the lessons that we learn from meditation, I feel like apply so much to life. Because it's like, if you give yourself that compassion in the moment to allow yourself to come back, like, okay, like I see myself going, but well, I come back right here to the moment where it matters and continue to build repetitions like that. And that would translate into something that you're holding on in your life that you need to let go in order to get to where you want to go. You can have more compassion for yourself to do that. So it's, you know, if we can get past that block of meditation having to look perfect, or like David G said, all or nothing, like that mindset, I suffer from that too. So if we can find a way to get past that and forgive ourselves for the little fluctuations, that's where the progress comes.
I'm glad you're bringing up forgiveness, because David G, I know you have one of my favorite meditations, healing through forgiveness. And you talk about the three types of forgiveness. And I think one of your lines in that meditation is when we forgive ourselves, or when we forgive, we free ourselves from the ties from those that hurt us. Much that's given comes great responsibility. And I think that's the level of accountability today, that level of awareness, knowing these practices of forgiveness. You know, it's kind of what pulls me forward often, is just knowing that I know a lot more than I did then, or I'm a little bit more aware than I was then. And that allows me to forgive myself, but it also gives me that kick in the butt to like use tools, because tools only work if you use them. And you, as a teacher or a coach or a leader, you can only take your people as far as you're willing to go. So it's like, you know, if you're not doing the work, energy is everything, that most people are going to sniff that out at some point.
Absolutely. I feel like that's a great transition, because David G, I wanted to ask you, you know, as being, you know, who you are as a prominent teacher and somebody that is guiding so many other people to freedom, just by the way that you use your words, what do your daily practices look like? What are your mantras and affirmations on a busy day or a stressful day, or, you know, when you're feeling tired or frustrated, like what are some of those tools for you?
Like, we're going to have you on probably quarterly. This is just like,
oh, yeah.
fully in the flow. And I think this is why I've just always resonated with, again, starting with your meditations and your words. It's powerful stuff, man. You're a very, very important person in my life. And just having you on here is a gift. I know the listeners are going to be receiving a gift and a lot of wisdom and knowledge. So thank you. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being a dear friend to me and for coming on with us.
Mm. David G, thank you for coming on here today. Thank you for coming on here, man. I appreciate you for what you did for me this past weekend. Man, I feel like you've equipped a lot of warriors that are listening today to this show with a lot of tools they can go forward with. And I feel like that's the best thing that we can do as human beings, is to continue to give, continue to serve, like you said. So I couldn't thank you enough, man.
Love you, brother.
Absolutely. Love you, man.
All right. We're out.
Peace.
Sweet. Solid.
David G, thank you for joining us. We appreciate you.
Snack.
Till next time, my friend. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Dala. A leading performance coach who has been mentioned in Men's Health, GQ, Men's Journal, Muscle Fitness.
Oh, Lord.
Party foul.
Big party foul.
Mike Idala.
Ethan Charles.
Like a few months ago, Mike did a stand-up paddleboard 82 miles from the Bahamas to Miami.
What?
He's a beast. Playing pickleball with me yesterday.
men's group leader, you said?
Yeah, he does like coaching like I do, but he does some specific stuff around men too. Mike, you there? Not yet.
Yo, there he is. I can't hear you yet. We can't hear you. Oh, now I can.
There you go.
No, you're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy? Long time no see. I'm not sure. We'll see if we can get our producer in. Now can you?
Should be able to.
Interesting. Give us a sec. We'll see if we can figure it out. They're working on it right now, I think. We'll try to go hard till like probably 4:55, and then Darren and I have to jump on another like this thing we're doing with Amazon. But we'll crank it out. We'll get some good conversation in. Yeah, we had that's funny. I got your text. Do you know David G, meditation teacher? Yeah. yeah, we actually did a two-part with him. He's amazing. Bringing the fire.
Hey, Michael, we are sending you video, so it would be with your browser settings maybe, but can I get you a slide to your right a little bit and just tilt the camera down? Perfect.